I ended up a straggler along with Saman and Orlo. We jogged toward the ramp. I threw Saman a questioning look. He shrugged.
They jammed the RET as soon as they got here, he said, and I can't penetrate their transmissions.
So I looked at Orlo, who was keeping an eye on the western sky as he jogged along. You think something else is coming? I asked.
Since the probe was launched, about one orbital period has expired, he pointed out. So if the geometers wanted to drop something on us at the next opportunity, then now would be the time to expect it.
Drop something? I repeated.
You saw what was done to that poor woman, Orlo exclaimed. There is insurrection, perhaps civil war in the icosahedron, a faction that wishes to share information with us, and another that will kill to prevent it.
Kill us, even? Orlo shrugged.
We had reached the base of the ramp and got stuck in a traffic jam. Scanning the ramp circling round above us, I could see Avout and soldiers, all mixed together, running. But some inscrutable law of traffic jam dynamics dictated that those of us at the bottom were at a perfect standstill. All we could do was wait for it to clear. We were the last Avout in the queue. Behind us were two squads of soldiers bent under heavy packs, waiting stolidly, as was the timeless lot of soldiers. Behind them, Orathena was depopulated, empty, except for the alien probe. Orlo squared off in front of me and favored me with a bright grin.
Regarding our earlier conversation, he began,
as if inviting me to dialogue in the refectory kitchen.
Yes, you have something to add?
As to the actual substance, no, he confessed. But things are about to become quite chaotic indeed, and it's possible we may get separated.
I intend to stay by your side.
They may not give us a choice, he pointed out,
running his finger around his collar.
My number is odd, yours is even. Perhaps they'll sort us into different tents or something.
The people in front of us finally began to move. Saman, sensing we were trying to have some kind of private conversation, went ahead. We shouldered and jostled our way onto the lower stretches of the ramp. In a few moments, we were walking, then jogging. Orlo, still casting frequent glances at the western sky, went on.
If you find yourself at Tredegar, let us say, talking to people of your experiences here, and you tell them about what we spoke of this afternoon, the kind of reaction you will get will depend quite strongly on who they are, what math they came from.
As in Procyon versus Halicarnian? I asked. I'm used to that, Orlo.
This is a little different, Orlo said. Most people, Procyons and Halicarnians alike, will deem it nothing more than idle metatheorical speculation. Harmless, except insofar as it is a waste of time. On the other hand, if you talk to someone like Fra Jad...
He paused. I thought it was only to catch his breath, for we were really running now. Above us, aircraft were settling in for landings outside the front gates, and the noise of their engines forced Orlo to raise his voice. But when I glanced sideways at him, I thought I saw uncertainty on his face. Not something I had learned to associate with Pa Orlo.
I think, he finally said, I think they all know this.
Know what?
That what I told you earlier is true.
Oh,
that they've known it for at least 1,000 years.
Ah,
and that they do experiments.
What?
Orlo shrugged and got a wry smile.
An analogy. When the Theors lost their atom smashers, they turned to the sky and made cosmography their laboratory, the only place remaining to test their theories, to turn their philosophy into theorics. Likewise, when a lot of these people were put together on a crag with nothing to do except ponder the kinds of things you and I were talking of earlier, well, some of them, I believe, devised experiments to prove whether they were speaking truth or nonsense. And out of that arose, over time, through trial and error, a form of praxis.
I looked at him, and he winked at me. So you think Fra Jad sent me here to find out whether you knew?
I suspect so, yes, Orlo said. Under normal circumstances, they might simply have reached down and hauled me up into the centenarian or millenarian math, but...
He was scanning the western sky again.
Ah, here it comes now, he exclaimed,
delightedly, as if we had been waiting for a train and he had just spied it coming into the station. A white streak sliced heaven in half, moving west to east and ending with no loss of speed in the caldera of the volcano a few thousand feet above us. In the moment before the sound reached us, Orlo remarked,
"Clever. They don't trust their aim enough to score a perfect hit on the probe, but they know enough geology to..."
After that, I could not hear anything for half an hour. Hearing was worse than useless. I was sorry I had been born with ears. Fra Heligastrium had taught me some geological terms, which I will use here. I can imagine Cord shaking her head in dismay, giving me a hard time for using dry, technical language instead of writing about the emotional truth. But the emotional truth was a black chaos of shock and fear, and the only way to recount what happened in a sensible way is to give technical details that we only piece together later.